Welcome back to Vision du Réel. Here I am with the next interview, and this time it's a wonderful film that I could already see at CPH Docs. It's called Whispers in May. It's a debut film by Dongnan Chen, and she's here with me now. Hi, Dongnan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Your film had a huge success in Copenhagen. It won the main prize. This being your feature debut documentary, that's a huge thing. Did the whole festival journey just kick off?
I certainly didn't expect it. In a way, I think we have been told a lot of times that it's a quote small film during production. I think it feels pretty miraculous that a film with this girl's like taken in the mountains can resonate on a global stage.
It's a delicate story about a group of young girls in the mountains of rural China. They're going on a trip that's half between reality and half fantasy. It's not fully a documentary. It's like a hybrid documentary. Or how do you prefer to describe it?
So the film concept is a very simple one. It's a film that's born out of the girls' own wishes, because I met Qinghua, the main girl, during a very special time of her life. She just had her menstruation, and she's going to be soon officially recognized as a woman in her own Liangshan community. I just felt like there was a clock ticking, like we need to do something in this very fleeting short time between girlhood and womanhood. I felt it's not very meaningful to make a documentary to have this reality narrative of her growing up. But instead, I want these girls to collaborate to make a film that they want to have before adult world sets in. The road trip is their wish, and that's how the big concept is set. We're going to make a film according to their wish to escape from the home and to explore a bigger world. And I actually don't know how to. I'm still trying to find a word to tell people what type of film it is, because I'm not a big fan of the word hybrid. But I guess we just don't have a word invented for films like this. It's either fiction or nonfiction, but in a way, a film is simply a film. Those words, those categorization between fiction and nonfiction lose its meaning. When I met these girls, those categorization doesn't make sense to them. So when we're doing it, they simply think like they're the stars and the co-collaborators of the film we're going to make. So there's no this academic concepts during the making of the film.
How did you meet the girls, and when did you start to build the story?
I was a commission to make short films about women across different generations in the Liangshan Mountains. That's why I was there. And during the research time for that project, I came across those writing assignments by the children for their Mandarin class. I read her writing first. So she wrote, "I made many wishes, but none have ever come true." And later I met her in person and got to know her situation. So it's really something that wasn't planned, but a project born out of impulse.
The background of these girls, their life circumstances, those are based in reality, but the trip they take is more fictional or improvised?
Yes. So it's based on real people and real situations, meaning everything. The girls are being themselves in the film, and their family situations, social situations are all real. I call that as the soil of this film, but the road trip is the flower like we grow out of that soil.
And they also have a number of encounters on the road. They meet old people who tell them about the ghost stories in the area. Is this actual mythology of the area, and are those people actually living there?
Yeah, there are people who actually live there, and actually people who would be on that route. And for the mythology in the film, it's because the girls, they always tell each other stories at night. I heard the story. It's the one that they told most often. At first, we have this as a very tasting in the film, like they tell each other their stories. But later on, I just felt there are just so much more resonance between their own story and what's being told in that folklore. So we decided to give it a more important place. The story, it's something they heard from their grandparents. It's completely oral, like people passed on from generations to generations. It doesn't really have a written form. When everybody retold it, they also create their own versions. we also created our own versions for this film.
What does this rural background mean to you personally? There always seems to be a big contrast in China between these hyper-modern cities where everything goes ultra fast and then the rural areas where things are much more traditional.
I think the living situations in the cities and the rural areas can be very different, but in a way, people are moving across those different situations all the time. The girls, they live in the village now, but a lot of them move to the cities to work in the factories in the big cities. For me, I was born in a rural village, and later on, I went to the cities. So people are really, it's a categorization between places, but not really life experiences. Like people experience this shifting landscape of the rural areas and cities all the time.
So would you say that parts of the stories are maybe also your own stories, since also you grew up in the village area and then moved to the city?
I think there's a lot of echo in the story. We all have fears for growing into, when we are growing up, we always feel the two restrictions on our lives. One is from your own community and one is from a bigger world. Like for the girls, they would be easily defined as a wife in the Liangshan community. But when they go out, they would easily be labeled as a migrant labor by the bigger world. And I think that can happen to me or any other people. I think most of the people in our lives, we struggle with this double restrictions from your small community and a larger community. And during our growing up process, we all have this fear like we would turn out to repeat the fate of our parents.
How much of the story was scripted and how much did you and the girls invent while you went along? Or did you at some points maybe make notes or write things down that the girls told you?
First of all, we decided on the main concept is we want to do this road trip. We sit down together and we write an outline together, like how, what we want to happen in the film. They share their ideas. I also share my ideas. So we write down these little notes, which is an outline, but not really a script. During production, we also watch clips together. Like we would discuss like what happened today, like what do you want to do next? So it's a very fluid and spontaneous process. We don't necessarily follow the outline that we wrote before we set out. It can be discarded anytime. I would say it's really just half spontaneous, half scripted. I couldn't really say like which thing is exactly scripted or which thing just happened naturally because it's just very blurry. Like once the girls feel like they are playing the role of themselves, they can be performative too, which is actually out of the control of the director.
What were the challenges in that rural area when shooting? And did you have a big crew or was it more intimate?
We have a 7-people crew, I believe. We have producer, we have a DP, we have a camera assistant, we have a sound person. I would say a mini professional crew. It's a very rough landscape and we have to ensure the safety for everybody and everything. And in a way, it's also the girls, their passion for this, for doing the film is not only to do the road trip. They are also very passionate about like they're making a film together with us. To really have a professional crew made them feel more excited about the whole process. And they also direct our DP all the time, like telling him to walk faster, like telling him what to shoot. The challenge is a place where you have to coordinate a lot in terms of traffic and safety. So that's why we stayed there for 1 month for research time before we started shooting to really ensure everything is arranged. We have a plan B when something happens in the mountains.
What impact did the economical situation have on your script and the story? You already mentioned that kids at a very early age might become factory workers to support their family, which is also the fate of the main character. Is that very common in the area? And do you see your work also as a social critique or a systemic critique?
You know, for the Nosu community, they're really one of the most artistic and culturally abundant ethnic minority groups in China. They have their own belief system and they have great, great poetry. and great paintings, which in a way, because of this great culture they have, it made it harder for Liangshan to be merged with a more modern part of China. In a way, it's a good thing, but in another way, this very strong sense of community has its own traditional values and own traditional customs, which is harder to go with the fast changes of the society. The big labor migrations first took place during the 90s. I think arrived at a peak in early 2000, 2008, 2010. So most big numbers of the girls' parents, they would move to the cities to work in factories. There were only like mostly younger people or older people left in that area. They found it hard to adapt to the big city life, which resulted in large amount of men becoming alcoholic or involved in drug issues. They're basically getting into more debt or troubles. So in Liangshan, the school system is the main caretaker of the girls, the teachers, and like they basically live in school from Monday to Friday. They only go home on weekends. The government is really doing a lot to persuade parents to let their kids stay in schools, but it's very hard because it doesn't really speak to the parents' mentality sometimes, because the family has a lot of financial struggles. There is not much belief in like an education would necessarily lead into a better future. Even for the girls, I think they chose to work in the factory so early because they want to earn money and support their family and parents early.
How was the process of casting the girls?
The students were very passionate about when they first met us. I remember the first time when I go to the school, I think hundreds of students just swarmed us and made us really hard to walk in a playground. But I didn't really like talk to them about making a film. I didn't talk to a lot of students about that. For Qinghua, the main girl, I think it's really love at first sight. I think I somehow, this is the thing happened to me. Every time when I make a film, I know the chemistry when I first met that person. I don't think like a story arc or a topic is that important when I decide to make a film. It's really about whether you can see something in that person. Maybe it's fragility, maybe it's sincerity or a charm that made me believe that I can start this collaboration, because it's a really intimate process for two person to feel that, to start a film. All the students are very passionate about seeing us and talking to us. But the next day, I heard there's rumors spread out in the school, like we're human traffickers trying to take kids away. And two students were so afraid that they didn't even fall asleep that night. But you know, while Qinghua told me this, she just jumped right into our car and she just want to go with us. Like she's not terrified at all. And she just kept on calling us all the time. Like, did you have breakfast? Did you have lunch? Did you have dinner? I think it's really something like some curiosity in her. She wants to also know more about us and know more about how we work. In a way, she's just being tagged along while we're doing the short film. Like she's already following us everywhere.
How hard is it financially to realize a project like this?
It takes time and a lot of patience to pitch the film, first in Asia, in a lot of forums, and then in Europe too. I think eventually we are able to get the film made without a big budget, but we're able to do it. But it's a very long process to talk to people about the project and let people really understand and know about it.
Do you see yourself more as a documentary director, or do you would like to go into feature film more?
I'm not very fond of the categorization of those two things. I think if we're making a film, we're making a film. The method only applies when you're in a specific situation about the story, like what method you want to apply to the specific story. It doesn't really matter whether it's fiction or nonfiction.
Do you already have ideas for something new, or is there something that you're working on?
I'm trying to write a script mostly about this very intimate but also complicated relationship between the observer and the observed, something drawing from my experience of filming real people for the past decade.
And we will definitely keep an eye on that. Whispers in May, it's now at Vision du Rire. And as soon as it gets a local cinematic release, you read at it with Movie Break. And I say thank you, Dong Lai Chen, for this interview.
Thank you so much.